As always, we are blessed with such beautiful readings today, which are rich and deep, especially in the case of gospel and first reading that call us to the understanding that for us as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, we must be people of prayer, and prayer is not easy. So we're called by these readings to persevere in prayer through in and out, up and down, thick and thin. That's kind of the underlying point of both first reading and gospel. They're a pair, as they often are in the ordinary time Sundays. Gospel is great, and as much as I'd love this morning to talk a lot about the cool story and the intriguing situation of a widow beating up a dishonest judge, which is just kind of fun, isn't it? I'll let that one sit to the side, especially because if one heard my parables series in the summertime, I covered this one already. So I guess go back and listen to those. I talk a lot about it in that series, so that's that for today, I guess. Because I want to land on the first reading, which is often passed over, book of Exodus, this great little story. So in the first reading, we'll just a smidge about maybe it's a little historical scene, this battle scene here, and then some words about how we find ourselves in the same scene over and over again, especially in the context of a parish community, why a parish is so important and why worship is so important. So to the first reading, Amalek, the Amalekites, this foe of the Israeli people, the chosen ones. What's happened is that at this point in the Exodus story, the people of Israel have been out in the wilderness for a while now. This is a place of difficulty for them, wandering around for a long, long time because they did not have the faith and trust in God to enter into the promised land, and so they were subjected to a time of wandering until they figured it out. This has been for a while now in their case, and in this difficult place of wilderness, they come upon a great opponent. It's a real challenge and a threat for them. So who are the Amalekites? We're not quite sure historically, but from all the scripture references to them, we would guess this. They lived in the region of the Negev. What is that? That's the desert that occupies the southern, call it third or so, of the Israeli territory. So way down south, they had the Negev under their control. And they were nomadic desert people, and they were warriors. So you can imagine how for this little fledgling flock and wilderness of God's chosen ones, the Amalekites were a serious threat and a real challenge. What do they do at this point in their journey, which would be just south of where Israel is right now, so it makes sense that they would meet in that place of battle. Joshua, who would become the great leader after Moses, is sent out to do battle with the sword, with earthly means, the stuff of earthly combat. We all know what that is. We all know earthly combat things. But most importantly, though, Moses takes his part by going up the hill to watch the whole scene and to do what? To pray. His job as the leader of the people is to pray for this battle. So there he sits on the hillside watching this, and he raises his arms, which is the Bible's way of saying he was interceding. He was offering prayers for this whole situation for his people. As the fight goes on, as he's praying and his arms are up, Joshua has the better of the fight. The Amalekites are pushed back. However, in those moments when Moses can't pray because he gets tired, the Amalekites gain the upper hand. So clearly what's pushing the battle along is God through the prayer. That's what's happening here. Aaron, Moses' brother, and Hur, another leader of the people, figure out the problem that Moses is getting tired. He can't persevere on his own in the prayer. That's a lot to pray through for one little person. So they get a rock and say, here, sit here, get comfortable. And then I'll take one arm, Aaron says. Hur says, I'll take the other arm. And they basically hold him in a position of prayer until the fight is over with. So together, as a community, they persevere in the face of these opponents. God wins the victory. The Amalekites are vanquished, at least for now. They come back later. But they win the battle on that day because of the prayer. Pretty cool little scene. What's going to happen as time is going to pass in Israeli history is that they're going to begin to kind of think about any of their opponents down the road, even to this very day, as almost like Amalekite kind of figures. Anybody who's opposed to God's people becomes this oppositional face of Amalek from once upon a time. You might even say that they could describe the Holocaust of World War II as another Amalekite kind of moment for them because it would oppose God's people in a very dangerous and vicious way. So with that, that launches us, I think, into how we fall into this little scene. So for one, and there's a few ways, right? One goes kind of like this. It would be accurate to say that like the chosen people in the wilderness in this little story, we too always find ourselves in a place of battle. We're always fighting against something that opposes God's plan, that opposes his will, the one to overcome what is good. So this happens in different zones, certainly inside the person or in the heart. So inside of us, there's all these forces of tumult, right? We have fears and anxieties and worries. We have, all of us, I think, vices, difficult habits, hard things to break, things that have such a grip on us in the realm of what is evil and immoral in the world. So we're always doing battle against things that are trying to take us under, you know, on a personal, moral level. We're also always doing battle, I think, with the wider world, both as an individual and as a Christian community. So out there, never mind inside the heart, there's all these things that want to take us under that are opposed to God's plan. They're the Amalekites of our day. And maybe that's some sort of a law, maybe that's a policy, maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's a disposition, maybe it's some anti-Christian sentiment. Maybe it's just simply war itself or injustice or bad practices or all that is broken in our world. There's a whole mess of it. And they want to win and opposed to God's beautiful plan of salvation. So we would be mistaken to think that we're not in this position, this reading a lot of the time. We're always in battle with something. So there we are in the story. Question becomes, how does one overcome? And the answer is the same. God gives us in his beautiful goodness earthly sorts of weapons. We have medicines and we have, I will say, armaments and we have laws and we have just earthly kinds of things that work in the earthly sense to overcome what is evil. True. But most deeply, the point of the story is that those things are great, but they're going to fall short if prayer isn't behind them, pushing them forward. What overcome the Amalekites of any era, in our hearts or out of our hearts, is prayer. Prayer is how we're going to do it, right? What does that look like? Now here, the mechanics of the story are very instructive for us. This is not just an individual who's standing up to these people. Moses is powerful, he is revered, and he's tremendously amazing as God's servant, but what becomes clear is he can't do it alone. He needs a group around him. So when Aaron and Hur enter the picture and they sit him down and they support his arms, this becomes a spiritual way of talking about the fact that the community's prayer is what really truly carries the day. And if one gets behind the theology a little bit, it's another way of saying it's worship that carries the day. A community, an assembly like this, we're just a bigger version of Aaron and Hur and Moses, just more people, same idea, around an altar with a priest whose arms are up, worship becomes the way that God wants to vanquish in the world what is dark and what is scary and opposed to his plan. It's got to push things along. And that's where the real power lies. So it's a story about the power of worship and a community's faith in the face of evil to overcome what is dark and difficult and wrong in the world. So it's easy, I suppose, to see where we fit into that story too. We face opponents, yep. And what's our answer? A parish, a mass, sacraments, the sacrifice of the mass, a community like this gathered around. This, like this morning, here we all are in this beautiful room, right, is God's answer to the Amalekites of our day. Whoever they happen to be, they take different faces all the time, right? The answer is always a community of prayer, strong together around an altar, praising God, lifting up our hands and hearts to God the Most High, ordering everything in the right order, and letting his power come through us out into the world. That's how you win. That's how we win, that's how God wins, okay? This is key. I mean, think about this. You know, what happens at a mass? Like this reading. You know, I'm up here praying at this altar. I raise my arms up. That's a gesture that comes from this reading, actually. But I don't do it alone. I can do mass alone, and I do, and it's great, because liturgy has power all on its own. But nonetheless, there's something far more impactful, you might say, and formative when the community prays with me. So think about all of us this morning with me kind of holding up my arms and giving me a place to sit down so that we can all pray together to God the Most High. This is that reading in action, and it does powerfully wonderful things. If one wants a further manifestation of this reading, if one wants to point to like a proof or an action, we can land on two, let's say, current, I don't know, events, let's call them, that come to bear on this Sunday's reading. One would be this. The bishops of America have asked months ago now that every Catholic parish in this country enter into a couple of years' worth of Eucharistic revival. They want us to talk more about the Eucharist, to focus on worship, to focus on why what happens on the altar matters so much, about the truth that Jesus Christ is here in his real, active, powerful form, not just a symbol, but really himself. They want to deepen among Catholics the idea that lifting up our hearts and our hands in prayer, like Moses does, is the way to salvation. So what a great reading to kick that off, right? In a few weeks, the diocese has a big sort of congress about this. There'll be more things next summer. So we're already kind of caught up in this idea of we're going to re-engage why Mass is so important. And a reading like this is perfect for the occasion. God's a great planner, right? Stitches all this together. More immediately here to us here in West Bend, I would say that we should probably know at this point that October, mid-October we're at right now, is a time of the year for many years now when we as a parish have renewed our commitment to our parish mission in our annual fall operations appeal. That's going on right now too. So coming in the mail this week is going to be a little envelope and a picture and whatnot. So this is our way at this time of the year of saying the parish matters to me, the mission matters to me, and because it does, I'm going to give to support it. So this reading is also perfect for that. Didn't plan that, God just sort of did that today, right? In the spring, we had our Love One Another campaigns, amazing, profoundly amazing outpouring of response that's going to fund all of our special projects here. Even after I'm gone, those projects will still go forward. More on that later. This fall appeal that's coming up the next week or two, this is for the operations that make us run all the time, the day-to-day bread and butter of our in and outs here as a parish. So that's what's going on right now. If one wants proof, okay, of why a parish matters and why this one matters in particular, when you get this thing in the mail and you open it up, you'll see, unfortunately, my picture. Don't look at that part. Every year that's always in there. Next year it won't be. How about that? But you're going to have, though, okay, on the left banner of this thing, all these numbers about what has been done here in the last year in the realm of prayer and time and sacrifice and ministries. And to read through them is astonishing. It's amazing what happens around here. And I want us to think about this when we get it in the mail as an expression of this reading. It's people helping each other out. It's people supporting each other in the arms of prayer. It's people sustained by the altar, and then when we go out from here, we do all this stuff for all these people. Because why? It's what God wants us to do to overcome the Amalekites of our day. Whatever is unjust, whatever is unfair, whatever is immoral, we do battle with it, sustained by the altar and by our prayer and by our worship. And to look at this list of things is to see in action this reading. This is me, Moses, and all of you doing all this stuff together. So you're going to see in there, you know, all the candles we've lit for prayers in the last year, right? The number of people in our school. You can imagine the number of diapers changed in the daycare in the last year. That number is not in there, but you can divine it by the number of kids who are in there, 50 plus, almost 60 or so. So the point is, I think it's good to marvel when we get this thing in the mail at the fact that this reading from a long time ago is happening right now, and that parishes are God's front line in the assault against evil in the world. One little person by oneself, well, that's one thing, but a group praying together, sacrificing together, pouring each other's hearts into what we are doing, that's power. And imagine, I say this every single year because it's true, if Holy Angels and St. Mary's at Gibrini were not in this town, it would make this a darker place, a less joyful place, a less divine place. These parishes anchor God's presence in this community, like in this first reading, and we hold each other up. That's the point. So it's awesome for me to witness the beauty of a place at work when I see these numbers and say, wow, what an amazing act of generosity in everybody's part to make this run. So that's it, right? We are always in a battle. There's no escaping this fact, me and you, internally, externally. And what is the answer to it? It is prayer, and it's community prayer. It's an assembly gathered around God's holy altar, and in that we have power and strength and security, and we have victory over all that is bad in the world. This is a great thing to be a part of, and I appreciate in advance the support that you will give to this, again, as you always do, and all the ways you just pray and sacrifice and work so hard to make this an astonishingly generous and wonderful parish community. It really, really is a beautiful place to pray. So I thank you for that. Praise God for it. And I think we dedicate ourselves again this morning to the fact that our prayer will be what vanquishes and conquers all that is dark and hard in the world.